With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, you have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me, no one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of my living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal with the bountifully before me.
Well, if I might observe, that if the Lord's sheep would follow his instructions as well as we follow the instructions to take the Lord's table this morning, I think we'd all be okay. I'm thrilled to be with you and thrilled to be able to worship with you today and spend a little more time in the Word of God. If you're here for our Bible study this morning, we began some lessons in the life of David, looking at a man after God's own heart as he is described in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. And we're going to be really focused in the Psalms this morning. I want to go ahead and invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Psalms. We're going to look at several in the 50s, 52, 54, 56, 59, some others as well. But just go ahead and turn there because we're going to read these and we're going to put them in a setting that I think will be of some benefit to us today. We're going to look at these Psalms for a reason. When we look at 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed as the future king of Israel. In 1 Kings 17, the passage which we examined in our Bible study this morning, everything looks like it's going exactly as it should. This is the future king of Israel. And this future king of Israel slays the Philistine giant. All is going well. David is anointed as king, and David has proven to be the savior of his people. But if you're familiar with the text of 1 Samuel, you know things don't stay that way for David. All looks well, 1 Samuel chapter 18, where the maidens of Israel are proclaiming that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And you're also aware that because of that, Saul's jealousy of David exploded. Here is the king of Israel. Here is God's anointed. And what will happen over the next several years of David's life is that he has to flee and go through trial after trial after trial, all as the anointed king of Israel, the chosen one of God, and yet one who must endure so very much. We're going to look, and I will reference things in 1 Samuel. You can turn there if you want to, but I want you to read the Psalms with me. Because every psalm we examine this morning is set within this time frame. These have little keys in the beginning that show where David is, what David is doing as he pens these psalms. And they reveal to us the heart of a man who in the midst of much trial and adversity never loses his trust in his God. I'll put on the screen for us a map that shows some of the areas where David will be, and I'll key there for each one a different psalm. Well, let's start though here in the beginning again after David is anointed as king, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. And by this time, remember, Saul has already tried to kill David with a spear twice. He has also set David a task of bringing to him the foreskins of 100 Philistines in order to marry his daughter. Saul has been trying to kill David for some time. Well, by the time of 1 Samuel 19, Saul is now taking matters in even a more drastic fashion. He sends men to kill David in his own home. David's wife alerts him to this, And again, one of those questions that we don't necessarily know the answer, maybe we'd like to know one day. There is a household idol that is placed in David's bed to fool the men of Saul. And David escapes. What do you think of your home? Most of us like to think of our home as the place where we are safe and secure. That's on our minds right now. I mean, all of us are thinking, okay, at some point I may have to hole up in my home for 2 weeks. But I'm at home. That's where I'm safe. That's where I'm secure. David has just discovered his home is no sanctuary. There is no safety for him in his own home. Well, it's at this time that David pens Psalm 59. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. For no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see you, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel. Awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. And he goes on to talk about how his enemies were pursuing him. But always he comes back to acknowledge who his God is. Verse 9, because of his strength I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God in his loving kindness will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. First this morning, we're just going to notice the Psalms. When we come to the end of our lesson, we will go back and look at some specific verses from these Psalms, but we're noticing just the tenor right now. Just the words that David is penning in these hours of trial and tribulation. Jonathan will confirm to David that his father, Saul, is going to kill him. And it's at that time, according to 1 Samuel chapter 21, that David flees to Nob, where the priests were. And you'll recall, of course, that at Nob, they offer to David the only provisions that they can. They offer him the showbread, and they also offer him the sword of Goliath, the giant that David had slain. But 1 Samuel 21 and verse 7 offers us the fact that there was one there who is aligned with Saul. Doeg the Edomite was present at Nob when David went in his need to the priest there. Word comes to Saul. Saul is at Gibeah, and he has the priest Ahimelech and all the priests of Nob brought to him at Gibeah. And then he commands his servants to slay the priest. His servants won't do it. But Doeg the Edomite will do it. And so Doeg the Edomite slays the priest, 85 of them. And then brings the sword against the entire city of Nob. One son of the high priest escapes to tell David what is going on. What do you and I think about all the unrighteousness in our world? Oftentimes we feel powerless, because we are. What really can you and I do about all the evil that is going on in our world right now? The horrific stories that you and I hear about or read about in the news. What can you and I actually do? Nothing. What could David do in this scenario? What could he do as the very men of God have been slain? Nothing but bring his appeal to God. And so Psalm 52 is penned by David. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, "Behold the man who would not make God his refuge, but trust in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire." But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Well, after David flees from Nob, he then goes to a curious place. He escapes to Gath of the Philistines. You'll remember Goliath is from Gath. That lets us know the desperation of David at this time. He flees to the city where the champion that he had slain was from. But word quickly comes to the king of Gath. David of the Israelites is here. David, your foe, is here. And so David has to feign madness. And the text says that he scribbles on the gates of the city and he has saliva falling down into his beard. He presents himself as a madman, all to escape. But it's at this time that David pens two psalms, Psalm 56 and Psalm 34. We're going to come back to Psalm 34, particularly at the end of our lesson this morning. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 56 together, though. Be gracious to me, O God. For man has trampled upon me, fighting all day long he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. You hear the words of a man that has been beaten. He has no place to go. When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps. As they have waited to take my life because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. And God whose word I praise, and the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I'll render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. After David escaped from the Philistines, he went to the cave at Adullam. 1 Samuel chapter 22 kind of gives us a picture of what's going on in Israel and the severity of David's plight even at this time. 1 Samuel chapter 22, we read in verse 2, that everyone who is in distress and everyone who is in debt and everyone who is discontented gathered to him. And he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. But also in that text we read that David, out of concern for his own family, asked the king of Moab to harbor them. Here's how bad things are for David. Living in a cave. Those who are also persecuted in Israel are flocking to his banner, yet he cannot even offer safety to his own family. No, he asked the king of Moab to protect his family. Within this cave is when David understands his refuge was not in the seclusion of that place. As our brother already read for us this morning, his refuge is in God. Psalm 142. I cry aloud my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, You knew my path. In the way where I walked, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to Your name. The righteous will surround me. You will deal bountifully with me. After Saul slew the house of Ahimelech the priest, David heard that the Philistines were fighting against the inhabitants of Keilah. The Lord's direction, David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Here is David, a persecuted man, still fighting for the people of God. But Saul hears of David's exploits. And now Saul and his men are on the way. And David inquires of the Lord, will the inhabitants of Keilah, these people that I have just fought to deliver, will they deliver me over to Saul? And the Lord responds, they will. So David is forced to flee into the wilderness. In this dry and desolate place, David reflects on his God. Psalm 63. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary, to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise You. So I will bless You as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands in Your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, for You have been my help. And in the shadow of Your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to You. Your right hand uplifts me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They'll be delivered over to the power of the sword. They'll be prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. And finally, while David is in the wilderness, his friend Jonathan comes to comfort him. But there were others who remained loyal to Saul. The Ziphites were aware that David was within their wilderness. And they send word to Saul that they know where David is hiding. Saul again comes with his men. And reading First Samuel 23, it would seem that Saul and his men would have overtaken David, except at that moment, the Philistines attack Israel yet again. And so Saul and his forces are required to go and battle the Philistines. David understood that the Lord had once again delivered His servant. And so the final psalm we'll notice this morning, Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by Your name, and vindicate me by Your power. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He'll recompense the evil to my foes. Destroy them in your faithfulness. Willingly, I will sacrifice to your name. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all trouble. And my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies. For years, David is fleeing for his life. And yet throughout that time, again, we see a man who trusts his God. But let's think a little bit closer about what that means to place trust in God. Well, first, some things that we can take from this lesson is that a heart that trusts God thinks correctly about trials. If you and I were to, which I don't think any of us are going to, but if we were to turn on any of the televangelists today, we would be told things like, if you are God's child, then God has wonderful things in store for you. You're not going to get sick. If you do get sick, don't worry about it. Pray and it's going to be gone. You're never going to have any economic woes. All those things will be gone. You are going to be blessed and prosper because you are a child of the Most High God. Well, here is the anointed one of God living in caves, wondering where the food will come from, wondering where the water will come from. Here is the anointed one of God going through trial after trial after trial. And what he shows to us, trials do not reflect God's disfavor. And that's a trap you and I can easily fall into. Why is this happening to me? What have I done that God is allowing this to happen to me? Why is one that I love so much sick or has passed away? Why is my job no better than his? All of us can fall into this trap of wondering, what have I done? Why is God dissatisfied with me? Note again what David said in Psalm 59 and verse 4. David knew what was coming upon him was in no way reflecting on his faithfulness to God. For no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Rather, he appeals to God. Arouse yourself to help me and see. What David understood, God isn't to blame for what was happening to him. God wasn't responsible for the various trials that were coming upon him. Rather, God was the solution. He kept running back closer and closer and closer to his God. Again, Psalm 52. Just read again the first several verses of that psalm. As David is reflecting on how evil man boasts and what they were doing to him, and yet he says in verse 5, God will break you down forever. Behold the man, verse 7, who would not make God his refuge, but trust in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. God was the one who was going to set right all wrongs. You and I, we reflect on this world. We think of all the trials. And yet there's a day coming when God sets right all that was wrong. When there is no more sickness, when there is no more pain, when there is no more sorrow, when there is no more death, God has set right all that was wrong in the world. And David knew his God would do so. A heart that trusts also thinks correctly about fear. We've made mention of fear already this morning. But I do not want you to come away thinking that, okay, if I ever have any anxiety, if I ever have any concern, then I must not be a very good child of God. A heart that trusts God experiences fear. Notice again some of the things that David said within these Psalms. Psalm 56 in verse 3. When I am afraid. This is King David. When I am afraid. There were moments in this ordeal David was afraid. When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. Notice again what he said in verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. I mean, many of us, if we got so overwhelmed with what's going in life that we cried, we would feel such a shame by this. I must not trust God. I must not think much of God because why am I going through this? But David says, put my tears in your bottle. You know how afraid I am. You know how concerned I am. To experience fear is not to be unfaithful to God. Not if, again, we see God as the remedy. And that's where our concern with fear comes. If in our fear, in our concern, we do what we can, all the while trusting that God will provide for us, then we are fine. It's when fear distracts us. It's when fear eliminates in our minds the knowledge that there is a God who loves and there is a God who cares. So Psalm 56 in verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? The same psalm that David acknowledges, I am afraid. My tears, God has put them in his bottle. He comes back and says, yet my trust will be in my God. And that is ultimately why the fear will be driven away. In a heart that trusts God, he thinks correctly about the solution. There's a phrase in Psalm 142 that I want you to notice again. Because I think it is an astounding statement by David. If we are to think of heroic men in the Bible, David is near the top or the top of almost every one of our lists. But when David cries out to God in Psalm 142 and verse 6, he has a startling admission here. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. They are too strong for me. I'm not the solution. I cannot do this. You are not the solution either. Nor am I. All the things, and you list them, you name them, all the things that have us concerned in our world, in our society, about the future, you and I, no matter how many precautions we take, no matter how many plans we make for the future, you and I are not the solution. Satan is too strong for you. He's too strong for me. The world is too strong for you. It is too strong for me. And don't be afraid to admit that. They're too strong. So if I'm not strong enough, then what we recognize is there one who is. We're not going to take time to read through all these, but in all these Psalms, the astounding thing, when you come to the end of the Psalm, David speaks as if deliverance has already happened. Over and over again, he speaks as if God has already delivered him. And yet when you read the text, you know that hasn't happened yet. Yes, okay, one trial is over, but then you go right next into the next trial. And yet over and over again, David comes back to these refrains of, the Lord has heard, the Lord has delivered, I look down on my enemies. I mentioned earlier that we come back to Psalm 34. And I want us to go there now. David, in this psalm, he begins by offering praise to his God. He then goes into the various ways in which God has delivered him and the turmoil that David had been in. But I want us to start in verse 19. Just read the few verses that go to the end of the chapter and you'll recognize some of the language. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. David at this time, and fleeing for his life and escaping narrowly time and again, can look at his own body and know, okay, I'm still here. I'm still whole. And God's going to keep me this way. And he says prophetically, he keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. He says this as David himself is being persecuted, and yet he knows deliverance is assured. When you and I read in John 19, 31 and 34, about how not a bone of Jesus was broken, the world would have looked at him and said, here is one smitten by God. Here is one defeated. And yet the fact that no bone was broken was testimony. Deliverance was already assured. Deliverance had happened. Our Lord would be raised from the dead. And David understood, I will be triumphant, even though at the very moment he was persecuted. This morning I began with a thought, or asked us to consider a thought in Psalm 131. And I ask you to go back there one more time as we conclude this morning. Psalm 131. As I mentioned, we consider what's going on in our world that I don't know of a passage of Scripture that may be better for us to consider. And it fits quite nice in what we've been talking about with David this morning. Psalm 131, quite a short psalm. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. I'll confess something. There's something freeing in that verse. As you and I worry about things that are too great for us, David says, I just got to acknowledge, there are some things too complicated and too great for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. And we, as the Israel of God, are still beckoned to place that kind of trust in him. Deliverance is already assured. Deliverance is something that God has in store for us. And that deliverance is found ultimately by the true King of Israel and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf in giving his life and not one bone being broken, assuring his deliverance and thereby assuring the deliverance of us all. And you can have it. Put your faith in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your wrongs. Be baptized, putting your faith, your trust in God, that God will deliver you from your sins and ultimately deliver you safe at home with Him. Wigan Agee, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?